Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Friends, we want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. I'm joined today again by the entire team, Gary Dahl, Sam Rohr, and this is going to be an absolutely power-packed program. We have as our special guest that we'll be bringing on shortly, former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, and you are not going to want to miss this interview with this good man. And so, friends, I would encourage you, if you have a cell phone nearby, call a friend, a neighbor, coworker, loved one, encourage them to tune in to the program today, because it is going to be as insightful as anything we have done in some time. But welcome to the program. We want to talk just right out of the chute about what took place yesterday. Of course, President Donald Trump signed a new executive action with respect to immigrants coming into the country, and Republican lawmakers have, for the most part, endorsed President Trump's revised immigration order on Monday, and suggested that it addressed the concerns that they had about the original order, even as a coalition of Democrats have prepared for a new round of legal challenges to this executive action. Yesterday, House Speaker Paul Ryan voiced reservations about the original travel ban rollout and said the new version shares, quote, our common goal of protecting the United States of America. Another Republican critical of the original version was, of course, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who said he believes the revised order will, quote, pass legal muster. He went on and said, I congratulate the administration for modifying the original order to ensure that it is prospective in application, protective of those with valid visas and legal status, and exempts Iraqis, as 5,000 Americans are currently fighting alongside them against ISIL. That was, again, a statement by Lindsey Graham. Trump's revised order signed Monday suspends the refugee program and entry to the United States for travelers from six mostly Muslim countries. If you'll remember, the original order was seven, and so now it has been dropped to six. The one country that has now been removed from the order is the country of Iraq. And again, that has been done because we are fighting over there alongside Iraqi soldiers against ISIL. And many believe that the reason Iraq was also dropped from the travel ban is because Secretary of State Rex Tillerson spoke with Iraqi government officials and said that he felt the screening system that they have was thorough enough to stand on its own. Sam, I want to go to you. We talked about this a little bit briefly yesterday, and I know you have served in the Pennsylvania legislature for almost 18 years. You know how these things work. My question, Sam, is this. Do you believe the exempting of Iraq from the seven countries, dropping it now to six, and do you believe the tweaking that took place in this new order is going to keep us safer? Is it a wise move or is it an unwise move?
Well, Dave, I don't know if it either wise or unwise. It was necessary. In that practical sense, they needed to try and do something that would get around this judicial ruling, even though the court ruling, even though we would say that that judge who ruled in that fact was in fact suspect in how he ruled on it. Nonetheless, there were some things dealing with valid visas and other items that were not specifically called out in the original order, and I think it addresses those technical issues. I do believe, from understanding what is a part of it, that it does grant sufficient additional vetting procedures to be applied not just to these six countries, but I think across the board. We're better off with it, let's put it this way, than without it.
Well, then let me ask you this, Gary. Unlike the rollout of the first executive order, Trump this time signed the new directive in private, and he sent Tillerson, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly out to formally unveil the new executive order. Of course, this was in stark contrast to the first order, which was done in a very high-profile format in the Pentagon's Hall of Heroes. And you know, I'm just curious. Do you think, Gary, that this is in any way a concession on the part of Donald Trump with respect to this executive action? Or do you think, as Sam said, this is what is necessary, to get it through the legal muster?
Well, Dave, as I understand, it was sort of a private ceremony. There were no live cameras there, from what I understand, and from actually, which is true. That's a good question, but I really think that President Trump did the right thing here. He used the chain of authority to do this. He worked it out through his people, through his men. And I kind of think that he did the right thing. I was quite impressed with it. I do not think that in any way, shape, or form it weakens his authority as the president, but certainly it uses other members of his administration that have the responsibility to follow through with these things. I just think it was a good gesture, to be honest with you.
Well, gentlemen, what I want to do at this point is I want to bring in our special guest to the program today, and it is, of course, Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore. Judge Moore, I want to thank you so much for carving out some time in your very busy schedule to be a part of the program today. I want to say this. We have followed you for years since you initially created controversy here in the state of Alabama with the Ten Commandments display. And we respect you more than I can say. We thank you for your integrity, for your courage, and for your Christian faith. Welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, thank you. It's very, very nice to be with you.
Let me ask you a question about this executive action, both the first one and now the revised one. I know you've been following that. Just give us your opinion of what the president is trying to do, good, bad, indifferent. What do you think?
Well, I think what he's trying to do is what he's supposed to do, and that's protect our country. And it's very obvious that you let people in that can cause harm to the country, that you've got a problem. And I think he saw that. He's simply wanting to listen. He listens very well. I'll say this about Donald Trump. I think that a lot of people think he just is got his way, and that's his only way. And I don't think he's like that. He listens to other people. He listens. I've seen on several occasions. He's a good administrator, and he's effective. He does things. He exercises authority. He promised to do certain things, and he's doing them. And I think that that's what we ought to appreciate about this president. Actually, I think that there's probably nobody else that could have been elected that would do what Donald Trump has done and is doing. I think he's taken it out of the political realm and put it back to where it's supposed to be, about the people of our country.
Well, I would agree. And Sam, before we have to go to the break, I want to ask you one final question. If this new executive action is not going to, quote unquote, as some say, pass the legal muster, what will the other side ever be satisfied with if they're not satisfied with this?
Dave, we know what the other side is satisfied with, and that is open borders. That's what they're satisfied with, and they are satisfied with bringing in massive amounts of unqualified, unvetted, inappropriate, in many cases, would-be immigrants. That's what they want. Therefore, anything that the president does is going to be problematic, and they're going to fight it all the way through. In reality, Dave, the president and the administration is going to have to actually do more than what they're talking about here, I believe, because of all that has been done. Although I think that what he's done will be, well, like I say, better than not having something before, but there's nothing satisfactory to satisfy the opponents.
Well, I agree with you, Sam. I think you've hit the nail squarely on the head. When we come back, our special guest, Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, is going to continue to answer some of our questions with respect to his suspension from the court. Where is that? Where is all that going to go? And friends, you're not going to want to miss this. So join us with Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore right after this very brief timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On March 7, 1774, the British passed the Boston Port Act, closing the harbor to all commerce to punish the colonists for the Boston Tea Party. The surrounding towns rallied to their aid by secretly sending food to the inhabitants of Boston. William Prescott, who commanded the colonial militia at Bunker Hill, wrote, "Providence has placed you where you must stand the first shock. Our forefathers passed the vast Atlantic, spent their blood and treasure, that they might enjoy liberties and transmit them to their posterity. Now, if we should give them up, can our children rise up and call us blessed?"
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
I'm Beth Ann Mumford, Pennsylvania Director of Americans for Prosperity. Join me every Monday morning at 8 a.m. for the Citizens Bulletin. What you don't know is hurting you. Become an informed, effective, and empowered citizen impacting the important policy issues of the day. Right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. And again, it is my distinct honor and high privilege to welcome to the program today Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, a man of courageous faith, impeccable integrity, and undisputable knowledge of both the United States Constitution as well as that of the state of Alabama. So, Judge Moore, again, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, David. I'm not sure I deserve all that praise, but anyway, I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. I want to back up and just ask you a little bit about what's been going on here in this state. I know the Alabama Supreme Court, which of course is the highest state in highest court in the state of Alabama, you were suspended from your position of Chief Justice, if I understand correctly, in September of last year, 2016. And you were suspended without pay for the remainder of your term by an entity here in this state that a lot of people around the country, as I've talked about your situation, they don't understand who is the court of the judiciary. They are the ones that technically suspended you. Can you explain who they are and then why they issued this suspension?
Well, it's a group of politically appointed people. It's not a court per se. It has a judge or two on it, but it has also individuals, lawyers, private citizens, and others. They have the authority to remove a person or to suspend a person. And in my case, this was a politically motivated thing. It's gone through several stages for simply a legal order that's legal on its face, and everybody recognizes that privately, but they won't do anything about it because I opposed an agenda, and that's what's going on across this country. If you oppose the agenda of homosexuals and liberals that want to change our country, then they'll come after you, and they've certainly come after me. I think they've gotten support by the fact that I was removed for display of Ten Commandments some 12 years ago, which has nothing to do with this case, and they've just been out to remove me. I think they're going to fail, and I think that it's up before some retired judges now that I don't know how much politics will rain on it, but, you know, it's certainly a legal order, and I don't think anybody will dispute it. In fact, the federal district judge who I supposedly told the probate judges not to obey has come out in my defense, basically, with an order that said what I did, the Alabama Supreme Court had done after I did it. So it's just very ironical that this is occurring, but it's an attempt to remove me from office.
Judge Moore, we certainly do appreciate all that you have done down there from the Ten Commandments up until this particular situation. And as you know, we've had you on before. We stand with you. We pray for you. You are a breath of fresh air to many of us across this nation. And I have a question that I want to ask you, but before I ask that one, I just must say that it must grieve your heart as an elder statesman and as an elder judge to see the way some justices in this nation, some politicians in this nation, and even some citizens in this nation just completely do not understand the United States Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and what law is all about in the United States of America. That must grieve your heart, does it not?
Well, it does, and it's one of my main objectives in as Chief Justice was to bring back an understanding of the Constitution in our country. I was telling somebody this morning that people just don't understand how much God had to do with our country. And the minute you mention God, somebody is going to pop up and say religion has nothing to do with politics. That's completely false. There was a man by the name of, it was a lawyer. He was agnostic, actually. And he came to an understanding of God and law through reading about law in the 1700s. And as he read Blackstone's commentaries, he then took up the Bible and was converted and actually became the leader of the Second Great Awakening and was by the name of Charles Grandison Finney. And he said, God will not bless this country, which we love and pray for, unless the church takes right ground. In a country such as this, people must do their duty to their country as is their duty to God. He went on to say, it seems sometimes as the foundation of our country are becoming rotten. And God does not have anything to do with it. But I tell you, God does, and he will bless or curse this country according to the course they take in it, which he was talking about politics. So basically, God is not separated from our country, our law, our lives, by separation of church and state. That phrase is not found in the Constitution, although it's a basis of the First Amendment religion clauses. But it doesn't separate God from our country. It separates the way we worship and the duties we have to him from the government. It goes back to the same time Jesus was confronted by the Herodians and the Pharisees and asked him, Master, who do we pay tribute to? Shall we give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? And he, knowing their hypocrisy, said, bring to him a penny that he may see it. And he brought him a penny and he said, well, whose image and superscription is there on? He said, well, it's Caesar's. And he said, well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they went away marveled in all three passages of scripture, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It said they were marveled. They they understood better than we do about God. God doesn't give Caesar all power. He gives him only certain areas. But one thing he didn't give him was the fact that we worship him according to the dictates of our conscience. Today, we see a religious battle going on across our country where people are being forced to deny that God. And I simply will not do it, haven't done it, and don't care to do it. It's something that we can't do. But when we deny God, we deny certain things in our Constitution, our Declaration, which we take for granted. Everybody thinks that the Declaration is not law. And I hope there are a lot of lawyers and judges out there listening. They will turn to the United States Code today and see that the organic laws of our country come from the Declaration, which says that God gives us rights and government's only role is to secure those rights for us. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That life, liberty, and property were not given by some Bill of Rights or some constitution. It was given by God. Amen. When we start making up our own rights, like the right of privacy out of 1965, Griswold versus Connecticut, or Roe versus Wade, then we're asking for trouble. When we when we create these rights, we take away other rights that God gave us. And that's what's happening today. In fact, today we're making, not only the court has made up rights, we're looking at people make up their own rights about what gender they are. And this is an absolutely ridiculous situation. And what amazes me is that we're in a country where 6 months ago, a man dressing like a woman, people would have thought that was a mental problem, a mental disorder. In fact, in 2013, it was classified as a mental disorder.
Well,
today we're making it a special right, which forces others to bow down to it.
And it's a shame, and you didn't know this, Judge, but I'm in a battle with that right here in central Pennsylvania. We're going to be having a statewide press conference tomorrow dealing with it, that same issue, because there's a city, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, wants to open up the whole concept to same-sex restrooms and, the transgender direction throughout the entire city. It's a sad, sad case, and we're trying to hit that head on, and I would appreciate your prayers on that. But let me get back to the question I really wanted to ask, and that is this. What was the basis for your order to your state's probate justices with respect to same-sex marriage licenses? Please tell our... go ahead.
The basis of the order was legal. An injunction once issued can only be changed by the court of first instance, which is the court that gave it, or a higher court. The higher court is the United States Supreme Court. I simply reminded the probate judges that there was an active Alabama injunction that was issued that was still in force and effect. And from that, they said that I told the probate judges to disobey a federal court injunction. I did no such thing. But I did say that they were under that Alabama injunction. As a matter of fact, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled in March after I issued this order in January and left those injunctions in effect. And today, Alabama stands as the only court that has upheld their sanctity of marriage amendment before and after Obergefell. Now, that's not me just saying that. That's in the legal writings. And we had a federal district judge who started same-sex marriage in Alabama actually come out with an order on June 7th of 2016 that said exactly what I said. She said that we left the order in effect, and we did. And I simply reminded the probate judges that order was in effect and that their reasoning for bringing this lawsuit actually contradicts the district judge who actually started same-sex marriage. She recognized, as I did, that once an order is in effect, an injunction, it can only be changed by that court or higher court.
Well, folks, you can understand why I say that Chief Justice Moore is an incredibly knowledgeable man of the United States Constitution. How many people can sit and quote the entire Declaration of Independence as he did? and understands the law in the nature and way in which he does. We're going to come back from the break momentarily. We're going to continue our conversation with Judge Moore, Chief Justice of Alabama. We're going to be talking to him about where he goes from here and the appeal he has filed with respect to his suspension. Where is that as well? Don't miss this conversation.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Debate starts tomorrow on a Republican health care plan called a good first step by House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Greg Walden.
We provide the American people with what we've asked for and what they've asked for: greater choice, lower cost, and flexibility to choose the plan that best suits their family's needs.
The top Senate Democrat, Chuck Schumer.
Trump care is breathtakingly irresponsible. It shifts the costs and the burdens from the rich to the poor and middle class, from the government to the people, and raises premiums on older Americans.
Some Republicans say the bill doesn't go far enough. President Trump surprises a White House tour group by saying hi and telling the kids,
"Work hard, everybody, work hard."
White House tours restarted today. They've been on hold since the inauguration. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Today, I'm looking ahead to the last full week in July, which this year would be July 23rd through the 29th. That's when we're holding our annual life-changing City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp for high school teens. If you've ever met a young person that attended City on the Hill, they'll tell you just what an impact it had on their life. Well, allow me to read some quotes from past attendees. Said one, "An incredible life-changing experience." Another, "I point to City on the Hill as the pivotal moment in my faith." Here's another one. "It was absolutely amazing. I was not sure what to expect, but it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. Not only did I learn how to better stand for what I believe, but I also made lifelong friendships and grew a lot closer to God as well." And one more. "I have never felt God in such a real way as I did at City on the Hill." Mark your calendars for the last week of July, and if you'd like more information, call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Our special guest is Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, who was suspended from office in September of 2016 based on a complaint filed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Judge, I want to ask you this, and then we're going to go to Sam Rohr, who I know has some burning questions he wants to ask you. If I understand correctly, is your attorney still Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's one of my attorneys.
One of your attorneys?
Staver and Liberty Counsel. Yes.
Okay. If I understand correctly as well, you have filed an appeal to the Court of the Judiciary based on their decision to suspend you. Is that accurate as well?
No, the court of the newly appointed court, since my court recused, has been appointed to retired judges, and that's now the Supreme Court of Alabama, to which I've appealed.
Okay, and so they will ultimately make the decision about your suspension.
Yes, we just the other day, since the time limit has been drawn out to over 10 months now, which is much longer than any other judge has ever suffered one of the longest suspensions in history. In fact, 2 years, 4 months is the longest suspension in history. But they've drawn this out so long now that we just waived oral argument, submitted in writing our briefs, and they'll go by the briefs.
Sam, going to go to you.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Judge, I've got a question here on this topic, but I want to broaden it just a little bit if I can, because years ago when you first encountered issue with the Ten Commandments and all that, I know you took a position of stating certain things that basically the judiciary had certain duties and rights, the executive branch had certain duties and rights. It's all that what we would call the matter of jurisdiction. I want to get your thoughts on this a little bit, because not only in your circumstance now, but if we look nationally, the whole immigration issue that we referred to at the beginning of this program, where there are many that are saying, that the federal government should be exercising the provisions of the Good Samaritan parable, and we have to open our arms to the stranger and invite in anybody who wants to come, because that is our role and duty, not understanding that the jurisdiction of government is different than that of the church. You could speak a long time on this, but could you share some very pithy, condensed words on the importance of understanding how God has laid out jurisdictional approach between church and state, and as it would appear to you, even between the judiciary and executive, because really the same principle involves, but a lot of people don't understand this.
Well, I think what people don't understand about the Constitution is immense. I think it all is fallen on this theory of evolution that we've been taught in school, which is different than what the Bible teaches creation. The reason it's so important to understand how evolution has altered our mind of thinking of the Constitution is to see that the Constitution was built on the fallacy of human nature. James Madison said in one of his Federalists, I think it's Federalist 43, said, "What is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels," we certainly know men aren't angels, "if men were angels, no government would be necessary. And if angels were to govern men, neither external or internal controls would be necessary. The greatest difficulty in framing a form of government of men over men is this: first, you must enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. We see a government out of control because they do not understand what the Constitution was built for, what it was, and what it is today. Evolution has taught us that we evolved, that we're somehow superior to our ancestors. Well, we do have technical abilities they did not have. I don't think many people could understand how a computer works, but they press a button and it gives them the answer. That doesn't mean your human nature has changed. I was reading just recently in Acts, the 24th, 25th, 26th chapter, about Paul as he went through his struggles with finding the truth about Jesus Christ and then trying to explain it to the Jews he had persecuted, or to the Jews that had persecuted the Christians. And he simply was telling the truth, but they bound together against him and swore to kill him. And basically the same human nature that was existent back then is existent today. The Constitution controls that striving for power and that lust and greed by separation in different branches. Also, you have other separations like the Federalist Principle in the 10th Amendment. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to states, or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The people do have power. It's all built around the people. Elections for offices, the checks and balances is important. Likewise, that the habits of thinking in a free country should inspire caution in those entrusted with its administration to confine themselves within their respective constitutional spheres, avoiding in the exercise of the powers of one department to encroach upon another. This spirit of encroachment tends to consolidate the powers of all the departments into one, and thus to create, whatever the form of government, a real despotism. A just estimate of that love of power and the proneness to abuse it, which predominates in human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us of the truth of this position. That statement was out of Washington's farewell address, describing why we've separated the powers. And if we fail to understand that you have jurisdictional things, judges don't make law. I'd like to tell that to the United States Supreme Court and to the federal district courts. They should know that. Courts do not make law. they make law of the case, applying the law that was there to the case of the before them, but they don't make law. We've fallen into this thing that whatever the Supreme Court says, it's law. 1931, George Sutherland on the Supreme Court said that the role of the judiciary is interpretation, not amendment in the guise of interpretation, not in the, in the guise of amendment. He said that if you don't understand this, if you miss the point of difference between the two, you confuse all what Supreme law of the land stands for. Mm-hmm. What he was saying basically is this. The United States Constitution in Article 6 says, this Constitution and the laws of the United States made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. What they were saying in Article 6, it's not the Supreme Court that is the supreme law of the land. It's the United States Constitution. And when courts depart from that Constitution, and by the way, I will mention Obergefell, which sanctioned same-sex marriage, four justices, one of whom is not with us anymore, and a really honorable judge, Scalia, who stuck to the Constitution, but also John Roberts, Thomas Alito, and Clarence Thomas, said that this was completely unconstitutional and said that the court had actually robbed the people and stolen from the people their rights and their liberties. Justice Scalia said it was a judicial putsch, which is a seizure of power. I wish people could understand that four justices on the Supreme Court said what the United States Supreme Court in a majority of five did was completely unconstitutional. Chief Justice Roberts said probably very clear. He says, if you want to celebrate this, go celebrate it. If you want to be proud of your newfound rights, do so. But don't think it was anything, had anything to do with the Constitution. It had nothing to do with it. So we've forgotten that courts, when they make a ruling, doesn't bind the whole country. Do you know when the United States Supreme Court sat back and let 20-something federal district judges overrule state constitutions about sanctity of marriage? They had no jurisdiction to do that. The United States Supreme Court even recognized that in 2013 in DOMA, in the DOMA case. They recognized that federal district judges had no rulings over state marriage laws. But here comes the United States Supreme Court and invents a right that nowhere is found in the Constitution, nowhere is addressed in the Constitution, and now we don't even know what it means. Can a man marry his daughter?
That's right.
Or a woman marry her son? Or can they call themselves whatever they want to, gender-wise?
Yeah.
We're in a country that's got to wake up. I pray that this president and administration bring us back from where we were being taken before. I think, in my opinion, that God has so blessed our country, he's given us an opportunity. He doesn't work just through a president. He works through anybody he wants to. But it's the people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a president of the Supreme Court or a congressman that's going to heal our land. It's going to be the people. But what God does, he works through these people. And he has given us an opportunity, a reprieve from judgments. And judgment shall return unto righteousness, and upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been mine help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. That's out of Psalms. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Forgive me.
Amen, brother.
Gary, I tell you what, I wish you guys could be here in the room with me because I am doing everything I can to restrain myself, Judge, from shouting amen as you're reciting these passages, both from the Constitution as well as from the Scripture. But, gentlemen, I want to say this. This is the kind of leadership on the racial level we need in the United States of America. Sam, if we had this kind of leadership once again, instead of suspending this kind of knowledgeable leadership, America could and would be a vastly different place, would it not?
Well, David, absolutely would. And what the judge is saying is exactly right. These are foundational principles built on biblical principles. They are enshrined in the Constitution. And when it's followed, we can have freedom. And when they're rejected, we will lose all our freedom. Not complicated, but boy, oh boy, it is opposed by so many. So absolutely, Dave, we know what the answer is.
Well, friends, please don't miss the final segment. When we come back from the break, we're going to get Judge Moore's take on our new president. He's already alluded to that. We're going to delve into that deeper. You're not going to want to miss it. Join us after this very brief timeout for more Stand in the Gap today.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging it is not an emergency plan.
Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, most of you that are regular listeners to this program know that I hail from North Carolina. Sam Rohrer and Gary Dole hail from the state of Pennsylvania. And Sam and Gary, I just found out an interesting thing. Judge Moore has ties to the state of Pennsylvania. Judge, I'd love for you to share just a little bit of that about your family connection with Pennsylvania before we ask you a couple of questions, because we have a huge listenership in the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, my mother is from Pittsburgh, and my grandparents of Pittsburgh. My grandfather was a coal miner in Pittsburgh. We lived in Oakdale and that area up there. Went to junior high school there. I spent there, but we used to go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My mother still has relatives there. Your relatives now.
Well, let me ask you this question. I know November 8, we believe, and of course, as evangelist, I've traveled the nation, and I think leading up until the November 8 elections, I've never seen 18 months of prayer, fasting, petitioning the God of heaven that God would intervene in the elections. And of course, I personally believe, as well as does Sam and Gary, and I think you would concur, that God heard our prayers. You used the word reprieve in the last segment right at the end. I think that is the exact word we ought to use. God gave us a reprieve. Now we're praying for revival. I'd love just to start out this segment by asking you to share a little bit about your take on President Donald Trump, what he has done, what he is doing, what he's attempting to do that is not only honoring to the Constitution, but honoring to the sacred scriptures and to the God of heaven.
Well, I've heard more from Donald Trump about being created in the image of God and created equal. And isn't that what we're facing today in our country, a division? We've got to get over this division and get back to being one people under God. I think Ronald Reagan said in 1984, if we ever forget we're one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. We've got to get back to understanding that we're all created equal. This racial division that we face, this division between men and women, between politics, Democrat, Republican. I watched the address the other day. What are we sending a message to the people when half the people sit down, half the people stand up, no matter what you say? Mm-hmm. We should be doing things in politics to support our country where we came from. And we have the solution before, but it's only God that's going to bring this country back. I mean, I do think that the election of Donald Trump was a work of God. I think he intervened to stop where we were going. But it isn't Donald Trump or the Supreme Court or anybody in power, governor, chief justice, whoever you talk about, that's going to bring our country back. We've got to understand we're at a time, a critical time in our history, and God is, I believe, bringing an awakening. We've never seen an awakening in our time. Awakening isn't like revivals in churches. It comes from God through the people. And I think people have got to take a stand. Who will rise up in this time? Out of Psalms 37, I think it is. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. And we've done all these things, and we're standing for these things. I think Donald Trump's doing a wonderful job. I think he's got a lot of opposition. I think that we need to pray for him. But at the same time, we need to pray for our country and pray that we, as individuals, stand up and do what we can do. And I think it's very important to understand that God's the one that heals the land. And if we acknowledge God, I think of the passage that says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." And I think we've lost the knowledge of God in our land. We've certainly lost it with respect to the Constitution. We don't think he has anything to do with it. And yet the mere separation of powers shows that our forefathers realized that man was a fallen creature and that we had to separate these powers so that we would get the right results. We had to have checks and balances so we could and survive as a nation. The Constitution is viable. It is still a very appropriate document, but we're taught that it's old, antiquated, and doesn't address the problems of our time. The truth is, it does address the problems of our time, and we're not seeing it. We're turning aside with orders out of the Supreme Court that become law, with bureaucratic agencies making up law without any regard to the Congress. It goes on. And I think that we need to return to this safe maintenance of our Constitution. It'll be sacredly maintained, as Washington said in his farewell address.
Judge, thank you very much. I want to follow up with something that you mentioned there, because you said the president is faced with significant opposition. Opposition. We've covered things on this program about the efforts that the former president is undertaking. Shadow government is a word being used by many. A lot of opposition to this president. And we're also in a time, Judge, where even the most recent polling information by George Barna would evidence the fact that less than 9% of the entire American public hold a biblical worldview. It kind of sets the challenge up there, but put that challenge in perspective before us. I mean, obviously, you've said the church needs to step in, God needs to heal. But talk a little bit about the depth of that problem that we're seeing, because it's appearing different in this case than I remember it in the past.
And the way we perceive things, the good news and the bad news, you know, the bad news is there's maybe a smaller percentage. The good news is God doesn't pay attention to percentages in the first place.
That's right.
If he will turn this country around, despite the fact that there's fewer and fewer people recognizing his authority, I think that there's still the great majority of people who in their heart know there is a God and know that he's written it in their heart. They can do their percentages and their polls all they want, but God doesn't work in polls. And he's shown that time and time again to me in various elections. But, I think that there's great things in store for our country. I think we can live out our true destiny. The American dream is not more materialism. It is, we have these truths to be self-evident, that God is created equal, that all men are created equal, and we're endowed by that creator with certain unalienable rights, that among you is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, we forget that pursuit of happiness is not materialism, is defined in Blackstone's commentaries as connection between felicity or happiness and justice. And it comes back to the Ten Commandments, and back to the fact that God will bless this country if we turn back to him and recognize his truth.
Gary, I know, Sam, we've tried to close this program in prayer now for months. And Gary, I'm going to ask you to do that. And I'm going to ask you to pray specifically for Judge Moore. He is, of course, has appealed, and that appeal will be announced at some point. And it would be wonderful to see him back active on the court as Chief Justice. So pray about that. But I think what he has just said is that we have a bright future for this country if we will turn back to God. Judge, I'm going to have to ask you one question before Gary prays, and I'll have to get a short answer because we got about a minute until we have to leave the air. Heartbreak. Any future plans that you can share with our listening audience?
Some have asked me to run for governor. Some have asked me to run for the United States Senate. I pray God's will is done, whatever I do. And win or lose in this round, political round, it doesn't matter to God. He's still have his way.
Amen. Gary, take us to the throne of grace very quickly, my friend.
Dear Lord, I just pray that you will restore the judge back to his particular position that he has there in Alabama, and even to greater positions in our nation. Bless Judge Rory Moore, I pray, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Friends, thank you for joining us today. Our guest has been Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore. We were going to take a 23-hour break. You join us again tomorrow for more Stand in the Gap today. And until then, you have a blessed afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Prussia.